very comforting sight to look out and see so many beautiful faces and those that I love so dearly, those that I've loved since I've been old enough to remember who you are, and those that I've met this weekend. I love you all. It's a comforting thing when you stand here and you come up and you approach this time with much fear and trembling to know that you're in the presence of those that love you like you love them. And I pray, I ask you to pray that I don't be overtaken by the fear. There was in Isaiah chapter 6, by way of introduction, Isaiah chapter 6, it says in verse 1, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood a seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Here I am, send me. I'm thankful that I don't have to have a hot coal placed in my mouth to be able to come stand before you today. But I need the same blessing. I need the same purifying, the same purging of my sin, my iniquity, to be able to stand here. And I thank God that that was done for me on the cross of Calvary by Jesus Christ himself. And I ask you to continue to pray. And I think about Jeremiah, Brother Ward, and that message that he had. It wasn't an easy message to give. It was a burden that he had and a task that the Lord had given him to do. There's many lessons in Scripture that we can go to talk about similar things where there's a task that just seems unsurmountable, undoable by the one that was being sent. We often, as we converse one with another, we think about the things in our lives that we have to do, whether it be in service to the church or our family, and we just feel so unworthy, unable to do them. This task of me standing before you, I think sometimes of Moses, as the Lord called him to go into Pharaoh and to speak unto him, and Moses said, I'm slow of speech. You know, doesn't say what that meant for him. I sometimes think he might have had a stutter or something like that. Like he had a fear, at least, of going before and speaking as Pharaoh. It was such an important task, something that was a heavy burden on him. He felt unworthy and unable to do this thing that the Lord had asked him, commanded him to do. This task that I have before you is so important. When we, these brothers get up, when we are called to get up before you, it's such an important task. I don't see it as, I don't have a people in actual literal bondage that I am here to try to free by speaking before Pharaoh. But nevertheless, we all have different bondage that we might be in. And it is our job to speak to you, to edify you, to glorify God, and to try to relieve that bondage, try to have us edify and lift it up above whatever is holding us back, to be able to put that, purify that sin, purge that sin away, that we might approach the throne of glory. I think about, we go to the book of Joshua. You know, the people of Israel have been delivered from so much. You know, Moses and Aaron, they led this people through so many things, and the Lord led them and used Moses and Aaron to do so, let's put it that way. So I never forget that the Lord is doing the work. The Lord is leading. And, you know, before coming up this morning, you know, praying that I have a message. Well, I don't pray that I have a message. I pray the Lord has a message for you today and that He uses me to give it. But the Lord had delivered them and led them through so many trials and tribulations, amazing things that they had seen. Nevertheless, when they got to the River Jordan, they sent out some spies to go spy out the land. And so they went out and they spied out the land and they came back, these spies. And there were so many that were afraid, seven, I believe, that said, yes, it's all true. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's the grapes that they brought back, took two men to carry these grapes. It was an amazing thing. And it's something from a people that just came out of bondage and just traveled through the wilderness and all these things that they had gone through, that they, this was something that was so appealing to them. It was the promised land, you might say. It was an amazing thing for them to see this. They said, there's giants in that land, and we're not able to overcome them. You know, we have giants in our lives. We have things in our lives that are there to, that are challenges for us, and all of our paths are different. All of our walks are different. You have different challenges than I have. Sometimes we have a tendency to look and compare our challenges with other people's challenges. I would say the only utility in that is when you see somebody's challenges is obviously greater than yours, and it puts it into perspective from you and makes it a little easier for you to bear. But nevertheless, whatever the challenge is, no matter how great it seems, God is able to overcome it. He told, as the Apostle Paul writes, that he had a thorn in his flesh to buffet him, and he asked the Lord three times to relieve that burden from him, remove that thorn from his flesh. And the Lord's answer was, my grace is sufficient for thee. His grace is sufficient for whatever circumstance we find ourselves in. His grace is sufficient for somebody like myself to come stand before you. He's able to deliver in spite of me, in spite of this man, in spite of the sinful men that stand before or sit before me this morning, this afternoon. We're related, but not by blood. But nevertheless, Joshua and Caleb came back and they had this faith. And, you know, the scripture says that it gave to every man the measure of faith. You know, we read about different men in the Bible, different women in the Bible who have the measure of faith. And some use it. And some, it's real for them. And they use it and they have hope and a lively expectation of deliverance for whatever trial they're going to go through. And we read of some where they're overcome and they're not using that faith in the way the Lord intended. Joshua and Caleb saw the same things those other spies saw. They saw the land flowing with milk and honey. They saw the giants and the people that were armored in these walled cities and how great of a task it would be. But they had faith. And Lord, they knew that their God that had just delivered them from all these things had made them a promise that this is a land for you. You will inherit, this is for you. You go in and take the land. And they tried. They tried to get the people to go in, but they were overcome by the fear. So we know, you might know the story that went on, and all the those of the age of accountability had to die before they were able to enter in. The book of Joshua starts, it says, after the death of Moses, and now Joshua is to lead. He says, in verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Every place that they go, every place that they stand, that place the Lord gave to them. Whether you come from Purcell, Oklahoma, or from Houston, or from Georgia, or wherever you're from today, you came here. This is a land that the Lord has given to you. We think about it in a physical way. Wherever you are, the Lord, that everything in this world, in this universe, is God's. This whole place is a place for us. And we think about it in a spiritual way. That wherever you find yourself, in whatever circumstance, that's a place that God has conquered for you. Whether you find yourself in grief, God has conquered that for you. You have hope, as we heard about this morning. When we think about death, in the way that Brother Mark preached it this morning, we can be there and know that God has overcome the devil and that He has got power over death. It's no longer the devil's. We can have hope in that. Whatever situation you find yourself in, whether it is grief or whatever task is set before you. You know, some tasks that the Lord would call you to do are appealing. They're palatable. They're things that are nice. So the Lord calls you to go to sing hymns and spiritual songs. And, man, that sounds like a good time. I enjoy hearing it. If I can't sing very well, I enjoy the sound of your voices. I enjoy singing along. It's palatable to me to sing. It's not necessarily palatable for me to get up in the morning, to get two little boys ready, to drive an hour to church, to do all those things. But that's the task that I'm called to do, to come serve the church and to serve my family by bringing them with me to church. And we're talking about comparing, some mornings for some families can be a lot harder than mornings for other families. When somebody walks in 5 minutes late, yes, we won't try to be there on time. But let's not shame people. You don't know what they went through that morning with their little ones or what trouble that they had that morning. I don't want to go down a list of all the troubles that we have. But know that whatever situation you find yourself in, overcome with grief or mental health or physical health, poverty, loss of your job, or whatever the situation, God is there. He's with you. Go forward. Go forward serving one another. Go forward helping one another and doing that which God has called you to do. He may not call you to preach the gospel. You know, we've got examples, looking at several right now, of men that are called to preach the gospel. And it might appear to us as these things run in bloodlines, right? I see a couple of Rowles, I see some Crawfords, I see some Mosleys, men called to preach the gospel. But that calling isn't, the Lord doesn't call you based on your natural bloodline. That, if that were true, if He was a respecter of persons, you know, there would be a lot of Jews standing here preaching right now. There's a lot of Gentiles that I see. Don't feel like if you're not called to lead the people over Jordan, if that's not what the Lord has for you, that you're somehow less. You know, if you're not called to come preach the gospel or to be ordained as a deacon, Brother David, if that's not what God has called you for, that's okay. You know, that's okay. Don't feel less than. Don't feel like, because that, you know what, that's you're thinking of yourself. That's wanting something for kind of selfish reasons. Let's say that. I understand the feeling. I'm going to tell you, I understand the feeling. A lot of you remember my dad. Now, I don't. But my dad was a preacher. And there was something that that I sometimes earlier in my life longed for as a way to connect with a father that I don't remember.
Bless your heart.
That was wrong to feel that way. That's not what the calling is about. It's not, it wasn't, that wasn't what led me on. That led me to start. to start reading and to start thinking about it. But if that was all it was, I wouldn't be here before you today.
Yeah.
That's not, the bloodline is not what it is. Your home church, Mason, I know that your church, there's a lot of Tillery's there. But it's not the Tillery's church, it's the Lord's church. There's some cults there now. And they get a vote too, right? So what I'm trying to get to is whatever the Lord's calling me to do, He is able to deliver it. He's able to deliver you to complete the task. Whether it's great or small, the Lord is able to deliver you through it and to conquer those things. The verse that I really want to get to is in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Have not I commanded thee? You know, we've got different sports fans, college fans. We've got Aggie fans in the room. And we're talking a little bit about this. That Aggies have a way of having hope at the beginning of every season. You know, there's no evidence that they should have hope. But nevertheless, every season, we're like, this is the year. This is going to be it. This is going to be it. Why are they able to have this hope, this unjustified hope? But we all so often struggle with hope in the Lord. We all so often struggle with believing the Lord can get us through, that He can deliver us through this trial and tribulation. He says, have not I commanded this? This is me. Have you seen it? I've done it. I've promised it. I've delivered it. I am commanding you. Go across the river. Do it. Go. Take all the confidence that I, the God of all creation, am commanding you to do it. It says, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. One last place, and I'll give way. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says, for ye are sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfaithful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things are reproved, are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light.
Amen.
Thank you for your kind attention.
Amen.